everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Billy Brim's back with us from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and we're going to have a great day today. So don't miss the broadcast this week, in fact. Don't miss the broadcast. Billy, welcome.
Thank you very much, Gloria. I'm glad to be here. And I, for the subject, Gloria always lets me choose the subject when I'm going to be on.
I'm so good to you.
Oh, she's so good to me. And then that way, I have to do a lot of studying. But anyway, I thought we'd talk again about shalom and its depth of meaning.
Yeah, good.
It is peace, but it's far more than just absence of war. And it is our covenant that we have with God. And it's so plain in the Bible that He leaves nothing out. It's whole. He's offered us the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to start out by saying years ago now, in 1975, Gloria, the Lord said to me, I want you to preach that I'm coming soon. And I said, people in my company are not, I don't hear them preaching that. And He said, well, I didn't want you to preach it because they're saying it. I want you
I
to preach
you
it
there.
Because I'm saying it. And so then I found in the Bible that He said He's coming quickly. And by the way, Gloria, out of Prayer Mountain, in our prayer, we have there every Sunday afternoon at 3. This past Sunday, a man who's come, man and his wife, who's come there to pray with us, they moved in from someplace else, very wonderful people. They volunteer for every job, small job that needs to be done. And then they're very, just wonderful people. And last Sunday, I've never known of him to do this in any of our Sunday prayers. And Shelley, I wasn't there, but Shelley and Brenda were there. And they said he was just shaking all over. And he had had 3 visions of Jesus.
That day?
That week.
Oh, that
since
week.
The past week. And in the visions, every one of them, Jesus told him, I'm coming very, very, very soon.
Praise God. Come, Lord Jesus.
Yes, and that the church was going to have 2 revelations, and those revelations were going to put us into a move like has never been in this earth. And the Lord said to him, not like Azusa, not like anything anyone's seen.
Praise
and,
God, that's exciting.
But then he did talk about there needed to be a purging in the church, and that particularly people needed to move out of their lives unforgiveness. And how that had stopped them from having their... I'm telling you, whenever we get through with this week, shalom, you see that God gave us everything, Gloria. Nothing is held back. But there are things that can hinder you, me, from receiving all God has.
Certainly.
And if we don't receive it, it's because something, you know, blocks it. But it's His intention to give it to us. So... Jesus said that He's coming quickly in 3
yes,
places. Revelation 22, He told me, you preach it because I said it. Revelation 22:7, behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
Praise God.
The book
God.
Of Revelation. 22:12, Revelation, behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be. Now, we're saved by grace. Not by works.
Right.
But after you're born again, there are good works that you're ordained to walk in. You and Ken are ordained to provide television, teaching, radio teaching on every available voice.
That's
you're
right.
ordained to walk in that.
We're commanded.
And so you're going to be rewarded for it.
Praise God.
So every man is rewarded according as his work shall be. Revelation 22:20, he which testifies these things saith, surely... come
Lord.
Quickly.
Come quickly.
Amen is supposed to be our answer.
So be it.
So be it. May this prayer come true. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Well, it's been 2,000 years since Jesus said that. He hasn't come yet. So I remember getting a postcard from someone. Came in the mail on a postcard, a question. It's been 2,000 years. Did Jesus miss it? Well, the answer lies in we're earthlings. We don't see things like God sees them. The Bible says in Isaiah 57 that He, the Holy One, lives in eternity, like a wagon wheel. He's in the middle. He can look down and He spoke past, present, future. And as regards time, he invented time. And he invented it for his dealings with man. He sees that time. He is going to fix time. He's going to fix man's fall. He's going to fix it in let's say 6,000 years, but that's what he sees as 6 days. Mm-hmm. Because that's how God sees time. Psalm 30 and verse 4. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. So that's our witness that Psalm 90 was one of Moses' Psalms. So from the time of Moses, we see that God sees it differently. Now in the New Testament, 2 Peter 3:8 says, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day.
Give us some deep interpretation of that, baby.
Okay, Billy. Billy.
Okay. Gloria, you're Billy.
Let's get this straight now. Gloria, if it's been 2,000 years in God's sight, how many days has it been? 2 days. 2 days, because he sees a day as 1,000 years. Yes, so right. Jesus said, I'm coming quickly. I'll be there in 3 days. It says, in fact, if we went to Hosea, we're not going to do it, that he's coming at the beginning of the third day or the end of the second day, either way you want to put it. So in his sight, in God's sight, it's quickly. He told us, and it's quickly coming. He is coming
soon.
Well,
how long is it going to be?
Well, Gloria, I don't know if we'll get this broadcast aired.
Has the time come?
Yeah, you know what, Gloria? We have to do this ahead of time. And there will be some time when we're doing a broadcast, probably, that before that broadcast airs, he will have come.
And we'll be gone.
And we'll be gone. And they'll be playing it. They say, we don't know what happened to these ladies. They disappeared.
Tim, you'll have to make up something and tell people where we went. He can do it.
Yeah, he can do it. I'm sure you maybe have, but they will say, you know, this broadcast was made and these folks are among the missing. So
as many other, about many thousand others are missing.
Yeah, they're missing, but we've got a television record that these women were here.
This is true. This
so blessed, it's like that. And so in 6 days, as God sees time, he fixed the fall. And then there'll be the seventh day of the millennial reign, and then there's eternity future forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever.
It's all good. All good if you're a believer.
But God didn't stop. It didn't stop him from making man because he could fix it. He knew man was going to fall. He knows everything. But he knew and had provided to fix for it. In fact, when Peter said this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. It's, you have to read Scripture in context. That's one way of, rightly dividing the words. You read it in context. And he's talking about the coming of the Lord. And in 2 Peter 3:3, if you just go up, we read already just 2 Peter 3:8. But if you go up to 2 Peter 3:3, he says, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. So I'm sure there are people around, not any people around where you and I are, because most of them are saying he's coming soon. Mm-hmm. But there are people out in the world who are saying, ah, my grandma fought that, and he hadn't come yet. He's not coming. And sometimes they even doubt that he is. But he's coming. And he's coming soon. And as God sees time, when you look at things the way God sees things, then you have a different interpretation. And that's what we're going to consider as we look at, did the angels miss it? That was, did Jesus miss it? You know, he said he's coming soon. So
does the scripture say that, I kind of lost that thought, that he's coming as a thief in the night?
That's when he's coming, Gloria, for after the 7-year tribulation. He's coming for us before. We're going to meet him in the air at the rapture of the church. The part particularly, even though people have tied it to the rapture, the part particularly that talks about him coming as a thief in the night, he's talking about when he comes and the world looks up and all eyes see him. So they're going to be surprised. But to tell you the real truth, the church is not going to be surprised. We're going to have had such a change in us. And You know that man I told you about that saw that three visions? That's what Jesus told him. There's going to be, I am purifying my church. We're going to know. And we're gonna be walking in the glory. It's going to be a glorious church.
Praise
so we'll
God.
Know. It won't be slipping up on us. That's what the Bible teaches us in Thessalonians. Now the world, it's going to slip up on them. It'll be like a thief in the night to them.
They don't have a clue.
No, that's the second coming.
That's why you don't want to be in the world. You want to be in the church.
No. So, now here's another question. Did the angels miss it? Here's what the angels said when Jesus came into the world as a babe. Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord.
Praise God.
And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Well, one could argue it didn't seem to happen that they had peace on earth. Then, at that time, they had very horrible conditions on earth. Rome and the emperors, the crazy emperors that were going to move on to Nero and afterwards, were ruling things with an iron fist. And they were conquering whomever they wanted to conquer. And now it doesn't seem like we have peace on earth. You know that Christmas song, O Little Town of Bethlehem, How Still We See Thee Lie? In a crazy thing called the Oslo Peace Accords, in which little Israel, which is the size of New Jersey, would give up land, then their enemies would give them peace. So in that, right in Israel, the Oslo Peace Accords, they gave over areas to Yasser Arafat. Yasser Arafat, the terrorist. Mm. And one of the things his group got was, they got Hebron. That's one of Abraham's altars. They got Shechem, or Shechem, we say, or Nablus. And they got Jericho. And they got, these are little circular areas that they were given complete rule over. They got Bethlehem. Mm. And we stopped going to Bethlehem with our tours. Where we had always gone, the birth of Jesus is an uncontested site. We know for sure that he was born in Bethlehem, there in a cave. Mm. And so we stopped taking our tourists there on our tour groups when this happened around 2005 or so. And 2004, back in there. And we didn't go. We didn't take them there because it was literally dangerous. Now, my daughter Shelley recently went to Israel, and Bethlehem's better. And they say that it happened when Donald Trump became the president. So I don't know all the findings behind that. But
so don't quote me on that.
No, don't quote me on that. I don't know all the findings behind that, but I do know that Bethlehem is a kind of a seething place.
Hmm.
Peace. The angel said, when he comes, he's going to get peace on earth. Well, it's not right now. Even in Israel, I went to a conference where they had some military people from Israel speak to us. And they told us that the northern border of Israel has now become an enclave coming down near to it for Iran's forces, and that Iran and that radical Islamic regime that's there, the Shia, the mullahs, they now control all the land just north of Israel. They control Syria since the Syrian war. They control Lebanon. They control the Hezbollah, which is a terrorist group in Lebanon. They control the Hamas. which is in Gaza, and it's on Israel's eastern border, eastern southern. And even though the Shia, Iran is Shia, and the Hamas is Sunni, why does Iran control them? Because they supply the money. And the Iranian deal, which we foolishly signed, released millions into Iran. And what do they do with it? Not only do they build nuclear weapons, but they also fund terrorist groups. And there they are sitting on the northern border of Israel. Now, they're also allies with Russia's. And Ezekiel 38, I don't know if that's going to happen before we leave, after we leave, what? I don't know. But I know one thing, you could not say there's peace on earth right now. You could not say it. There are wars going in Africa. There's in Yemen and all places on this earth.
There's wars and rumors of wars,
like the Bible says. So that can't be that when he came as a baby, from then on we've had peace. It can't be. If we take the Western definition of peace. Now, what is our Western definition of peace? Absence of war. Absence of war. Or absence of a, we'll speak of a peace in your mind. We look at it as peace on earth. We look at it as peace having between nations, a peace of mind. I didn't even mention North Korea, you know. So we definitely don't have what the world would call an absence of war or a rumor of war. We have what the Bible calls wars and rumors of wars, as you said. Mm-hmm. So where is the, what's the answer to this? Well, the answer is God's definition of peace and man's definition of peace. They're different, totally different. With man's definition of peace, it's limited to an absence of conflict, war, either in with between nations or your mind. But in God's definition of peace, it has depth of meaning. Like love. Ephesians 3:17 tells us that God wants us to understand love. And in just reading 3:17, Ephesians, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height of love. So that's God's definition of peace. It definitely means much more than what the world says when they think of peace. And for knowing what God meant when he said peace, and he gave you peace, and Jesus gave us peace, what all does that mean? And so we're going to use a book, How the Hebrew Language Grew, by Edward Horowitz. And we're going to find out tomorrow. We'll start going to this in depth, but I'm going to read just a little bit of it to you right now from this book, How the Hebrew Language Grew. Where and I'll read this again
what
tomorrow.
What page are you going
I'm
to?
On page 22. The Hebrew, oh, the Hebrew. Gloria, you know that when Kent passed away, that was in 1986. I sought the Lord what to do. And he said, I want you to study Hebrew in the land. I had no idea of studying Hebrew. And so I went to a Hebrew language school, Upan Akiva, in Israel. And there I studied. And I'm not a Hebrew expert. I'm a student of Hebrew, just a baby student. Even from 1986, I'm still a baby student. Because this language is so rich. Brother Hagin, you know, I worked for him for years, and I agree with probably 98% of what Brother Hagin said. That's pretty good.
I know he's honored, Billy.
I know he's honored, yeah. But there's some things I disagree with him, and this is one. He said publicly, the Greek is a much better language to express God's thoughts in than the Hebrew. And I thought, that is not so. The Hebrew language, which is the language of creation. God said, Yehi-eor. He said it in Hebrew, let there be light. The Hebrew language in its depth and length and breadth, like Ephesians spoke of love,
is so full. But to understand it, you have to understand how it grows. The Bible, Gloria, as you study the Bible, English, Hebrew, whatever, it's planting and reaping. Everything in Hebrew is planting and reaping, sowing and reaping. You know, the parable of the sower in the New Testament, which your husband has taught and taught and taught and taught us. And it's everything is like that in Hebrew. It is a language which grows. And what do plants grow from? What do trees grow from? A root. And that's what the words grow from. The words, Hebrew words, grow from roots, R-O-O-T-S. I don't know where you come from. Maybe you say roots. Roots, roots, whichever. It's those
roots.
Things that are at the bottom of a
the
tree.
The Arkansas Virgin is roots.
In Arkansas, they say roots. Well, I don't know. I grew up in Oklahoma, but I say roots. But anyway.
Well, you're educated.
Tomato, tomato, potato, patata. It doesn't matter. In Hebrew, it's shoresh. And it's a root. And every word grows from a root. And in Hebrew, there are not a whole lot of roots. And word families grow from them. And we're going to find out how that works tomorrow.
Okay.
I think it's better that we wait until tomorrow. And that way you can call your friends and they can come in. And they can learn something about what does that word peace mean? What does that word shalom
mean? That's going to be great.
How much is in it? What can I see from the Hebrew growing of that word? What does it mean in my life? And Gloria, let's just jump way ahead.
All right.
Jesus gave you everything.
That's right. I believe it.
He gave you wholeness. And shalom literally means the peace that comes because you're whole. Nothing is broken about you.
Nothing is missing.
Not your arm. Mm-mm. Not your leg. Not your money. Not your peace of mind.
Peace, wholeness.
You have wholeness. Jesus got for you wholeness, and He got for you, with for you, connection with God. He got for you oneness with God. All of this is in that word shalom, and all of it, the angels did not miss it. They said, He's coming, and He's going to give you shalom on the earth. And we're going to look into all that that means and satisfy your, maybe not you, but your neighbor down the road, question. Is healing in the atonement?
Uh-huh.
You know, some people say that.
Let me just tell you, it's a good answer. It's a good answer.
Is it a good answer, Glow?
Well, welcome, Billy. We're glad you're here.
Thank you very much. We're talking about shalom. And tying that into the end times, which I'm going to do later on. Speaking of the end times and some judgments that are coming, there's a chapter in Isaiah. And he said, it's translated in the King James, I will keep you in perfect peace.
Yes,
whose mind is stayed on me.
Yes.
And in the Hebrew, to say a complete peace or complete anything, you say it twice. Like, for instance, yom is day. But I want to say every day, I say yom yom. That's how you say every day. So, shalom, I will keep you in perfect peace. What it says there in Isaiah is, I will keep you in shalom, shalom. Absolute fullness, absolute completeness. You and I can walk through anything that happens today on the news, tomorrow on the news. There's a scripture which says we're
Hallelujah.
Not moved at bad news
No.
because we fear the Lord. And He's promised
Shalom, shalom.
To keep my mind in shalom, in peace. Shalom,
Praise
shalom.
God.
And to keep my body there. And exactly what does that mean, shalom? It's evidently more than what we think. Because when Jesus came as a little baby, this I'm reading from Luke 2 and verse 13. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. He didn't speak English, this angel. He would have spoken probably Hebrew. That's the language of heaven.
Yeah.
And there will be on earth shalom.
Shalom.
Good will toward men. And so what did he mean? There hadn't been peace from then till now. From the Romans up to the present day northern border of Israel and Korea, there hadn't been peace, really.
And so what did God mean? What does he mean when he says
peace?
What is
he saying?
That's what is he telling to us. And so I'm going to be reading right now from this book. This is a book by Edward Horowitz. And he taught in the Hebrew department of a high school in Brooklyn, New York. And this is published by the KTAV Publishing House.
I'm glad to get this.
And it's really a kind of, it's a, it puts it simply.
Billy didn't give it to me. I just took it.
You know, I give it to you from
wherever
they
bought it. Thank you, Billy.
Bless the Lord. I think from your own bookstore. But anyway, it's we are going to look into here and find out the depth of the meaning of peace. Because the angel promised it. And Jesus said he's going to get it for us.
That's right.
So what does it mean?
Good.
And so I'm going to start here in this book talking to you. And it's pretty simple, you know. I started studying Hebrew when I was, after my husband went to heaven, the Lord told me, I want you to study Hebrew in the land. I'm just a student of Hebrew. I'm not any way proficient in it. But I do study it, and it's a blessing to me. If I had the Hebrew on one side in my Bible and I had the English on the other, I can look over there and
you
I can
get
see
to
that
the depth.
Word.
Yeah.
And I can see what it is. I can see when it's shalom in the Old Testament, for instance. So the Hebrew root, everything about the Bible is seed time and harvest. We know that from the New Testament. We know the parable of the sower. We know that what you sow is what you reap. And we know that God wants us to sow not sparingly. We know a lot of things about sowing and reaping. But actually, you're going to have to go back to the very beginning of the Bible, and you're going to find out that that is God's principle. Things grow, and they grow from roots. Oh, there's a psalm, and I didn't look it up, but it talks about your children. And it talks about, I'll try to look this up for later in the week. It talks about, don't let the roots be twisted. You know, you got little olive plants, and you don't want those little olive plants growing up around your table with twisted roots. And so you can see in people's lives, if their roots have been twisted, if they had a terrible home life growing up. But thank God, Jesus can give you the peace that comes from being whole.
Amen.
He can give you a whole new root system. He can give you something that he promised to get. Peace with God.
Praise
God.
And
when you have peace with God, then your root system straightens out.
That's good.
And your life grows better. So now we're going to see this root system in the Hebrew language. So this is chapter 3 of his book, The Hebrew Root. We come now to the central theme of all word building in Hebrew. It is the central rhythm of the whole vast, far-flung structure of the Hebrew language. And this is it. Practically all words in Hebrew go back to a root. And this root must have in it three consonants. Now, I think there are a few that have only two consonants. The Hebrews, this is on page 22 for you.
I'm lost. Okay. Well, I'm way ahead of you.
Oh, you're way ahead. You're over there in the book. Okay, I think she's got it marked up here, page 22. There you go.
I got it.
Okay, you've got it. I have seen that there have been some with two roots, two consonants. Now, the Hebrew does not print out for you vowels and vowel sounds. It was harder to write back in those days when they first began speaking Hebrew on the earth. They had to put things in stone and parchment was scarce.
Yeah.
So the consonant is what's going to be there. You know, vowels are A, E, I, O, U. So it's the other letters besides that. The consonants, the Hebrew consonants that they use. And I'm going to start here, starting at that second paragraph, Gloria.
On page 22?
On page 22.
Okay.
Practically all words in Hebrew go back to a root. And this root must have in it three consonants. You can do anything you want to the root. You can use it in any verb form or tense. You can turn it into any one of 10 or 20 or more nouns. You can make it an adjective, an adverb, a preposition, whatever you will. But no matter, here's the big thing. Here's the big thing. Turn up your ears, put up your antenna.
Okay.
No matter what you do,
you will always see staring you in the face the three consonants of the root. You can never escape them. And equally important, no matter what you do with the root, no matter into what word you turn it, that word must carry in it something of the meaning of the root. So when you see a word on a page, you're going to see its root. And when you see a word on a page, that word that you're going to read, however it is, has got to have something of that root retained in it. Just like the root of a tree, there's whatever's genetically, if trees have genetics, whatever's in that has got to go, come out in the leaf. So it grows from a root. Now, I used to say, I throw this little question out there, you know, kind of a little trick question. What is the most well-known Hebrew word? And most of the time people say hallelujah, but it's not that.
Which one?
It's not either one of those. It's not hallelujah. It's not shalom. In fact, this is not only the most widely used Hebrew word, this is the most widely used word in any language.
Tell us.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's it. It's the word so amen. And so I'm going to ask them, I'll just read what he says about amen.
Where are you?
This is on page, if you'll just turn one page over from 22, you turn one page over and you're going to see amen.
Amen.
Amen is a root of unusual interest. It shows you how far and wide a word can travel. The Hebrews loved the word amen. In it, they expressed their very hope that God would be merciful to them and grant them their heart's desire. From Hebrew, the word has spread to cover 1,000 languages and more. It enjoys an unusual distinction. It has entered more languages and is used in more countries than any other word in human speech.
Isn't that amazing?
Now, the Bible has been translated into more than 1,000 languages. But they never translate amen into any other word. They always just leave it amen, like it is in the Bible. The root word amen means confirm or support. And it has the idea of confirmation or support. Now, the Hebrews in this root system, if you would imagine it like you would imagine a wagon wheel.
Yeah.
And I have something on this that I can put up for you to take a look at. It's like a wagon wheel. And at the middle of that wheel, you're going to always see the root word. And then from the root word, the words that come from it. By being, and I'm going to ask them to put that up now. So this system, this root system that you're going to see right here, and they're going to leave it up a while so you can kind of see it on your screen. It's going to be in the book you'll get. It'll be in my notes that's sent to you. The root word, amen, is in the middle. And that word means confirm, support. So, of course, the word amen, which we say is up at the top here, and it literally means, may this prayer come true. Amen means, may this prayer come true, because it has the support system of God and His Word. So in this family of words, look what you see. In the families of words, you always see that middle root. And this word root is, amen, is a root. And one of its meaning is, may this prayer come true. May this prayer come true. So then you're going to see, just by changing vowel sounds and making, and they come in a certain patterned way that you can add beginnings or endings to it. But here's words that come from it. Amen.
Okay.
As the root. Now look there to the left. There's the word for faith. Gloria, to the left right here.
Oh,
the word for faith comes from amen. Can you imagine that every time you see faith in the Bible, you're going to look at that word and you're going to see, if you're a Hebrew reader, you're going to see, hey, this comes from amen.
In other words, So be it.
So the prayer is going to come true.
Faith believes.
But it takes faith.
So be it.
Yeah. And so faith is emunah. And that's one of the words that comes from it. Hmm. Now, if you'll look to the right on that wheel, put that wheel back up there, you're going to see the word believed. It comes from it.
Yeah.
So when you see this family of words, this Hebrew language is so rich because even though the little word that you see written on your page is amen, it has to carry all of this meaning. Yeah, and
to carry the whole wheel.
Yeah, the whole wheel is gonna come from this.
Wow.
Look at the word, what it takes to make a prayer come true. It takes faith. Yeah. Emunah. It takes you believed. Ha-amen. Mm-hmm. It takes truth, God's truth.
Yeah.
The Word of God. It has to be built on the Word of God. You can't have faith that you're going to get 1,000 oil wells because it's not written in the Word of God. But you can see, right here, truth. You can see that if you find it in the Word, you can believe for it.
That's right.
If you find that in the Word of God, part of the Word of God is truth, right?
Amen.
And if you, amen, you can see, it's truth. And so you got to have the Word of God before you believe something. Gloria, we just don't believe on pipe dreams.
No.
I mean, you got to have some support. That's in this meaning. What is your support? This Bible.
The Word.
That's
Bible.
The Word. So you have to have the Word. That's called the truth. Remember Jesus said, I am the truth?
Mm-hmm.
You've got to have the truth. And then you have to have faith in that truth. You have to believe in that truth. You have to have here on this wheel is the right hand. And it literally has the meaning of strength. You have to have God's strength.
Yes, you do.
He's the one that's going to bring it about. He's the one that's going to do it. You're going to find it in the Word. You're going to believe it. And you're going to have faith in the Word. But it's going to take the right hand of God to do it. All of this is in that little word, amen. And every time you see right hand, every time you see faith, I'm talking about Hebrew readers. See, you don't see any tie in the English language between faith and believed. You don't see any tie, I'm talking about grammatically, in the words and the spelling. But in the Hebrew, in every one of those, right in the middle is amen. And they know, may this prayer come true. So it would be easy to teach the faith message. It would be easy to teach, hey, amen. You know how it says in that, what does it say in the New Testament? All of the promises of God
are
yea
and
amen. So you got the promises of God. They're in here in the Word, in the truth. And then you've got faith in it. You believe it. And you say, amen to this. And you stand in that faith.
So be it.
So be it. That's everything in this word, amen. So you see it as a Hebrew. You can teach. The teacher can get up and say, here's our lesson of faith today. Here's what you got to have for amen, to be able to say amen. May this prayer come true. Here's what you need. All in the same family of words. Hmm. Now, I take this very literally. And you know, a preacher will be preaching along. And he'll say something like, the world's going to the dogs. And people will say, I'm in. I don't want the world going to the dogs.
No.
I don't believe it's going to the dogs.
I
believe things are going to turn out like God said.
Yes.
And so I never say I'm in. And I very well know, and you know that I teach, and I've written a book on how to rightly divide the Word. And to rightly divide the Word, especially about end times, you got to know the three groups of peoples that God talks to. And He talks in the Word to the Jews, the Gentiles, which another word for that is nations, and then the church. So we know that in the Old Covenant, in the Old Testament, there were just the Jews and the Gentiles, the Jews and the nations. And in the New, any Jew, any Gentile can accept the Lord Jesus Christ and they'll be born again and they'll be a new creature.
Praise
God. Oh, Gloria, you remember I told you yesterday about that man that worships among us and he had seen Jesus and he had never seen him before. We know this man. He's not going to make this up. And Jesus told him, the church is going to have a revelation, they don't yet, of what it really means to be a new creature.
Praise God. That'll be awesome.
We're going to walk here, Gloria, as new creations. So, I'm in a church once, and this man is preaching, and he's trying to get people to say that they're Jews or Gentiles.
And so he said, everybody who's a Jew, raise their hand. Not many raise their hand. Everybody who's a Gentile, people all raise their hands. I don't raise my hand. He sees I don't raise my hand. Everybody who's a Gentile, raise their hand. I'm not raising my hand, and I'm not saying amen, because I'm not a Gentile. You're all Gentiles, he said. I didn't, and they say, amen, amen. I didn't say amen because I'm not one. I'm a new creation. So I don't say amen at the wrong time, right, because I have a great revelation that amen means may this prayer come true. Now you've seen how that works for the amen wheel. Now we're going over to another wheel, and I'll just show it to you briefly today, and we're going to go into it in detail tomorrow. So turn in your little book here to page 47, 46. She'll have it marked for you up here. Now this is, and we're going to really get into this tomorrow, but this is just to whet your appetite. This is, we're going to be talking about the word shalom. That's what we're talking about this week, shalom. And shalom comes from a root word, shalem. And that word means be whole, be complete. You can take that graphic down a bit and we'll get back to it later. So Horowitz, remember he's talking to Hebrew students, students in a Hebrew high school in America. And he says to them, it probably never occurred to you, and it may faintly amuse you to know that when someone says to you inquiringly, what is your shalom, they'll say. And here's how you say it in Hebrew. Ma shalom ha.
Ma shalom ha.
What ma shalom ha? Your peace. Or to a woman, ma shalomech. So he's asking about your shalom. And he said it might amuse you to know that the real meaning of this is he is actually asking you whether you are whole, complete, in one piece. They want assurance that no part of you, fingers, toes, legs, arms, etc., is missing or broken. The root meaning of our familiar greeting word, shalom, is shalem, whole, complete. If you're whole, you're probably well and at peace. So you can put that wheel back up there, and we're going to get back into this tomorrow. We're going to get into it in depth. You see, shalem is the root word in the middle, in that black part, shalem, and it means whole, complete. Now go at the top. These are the words in the spokes, and there's a whole lot of more words. I just put a few on there for the sake of teaching today. Shalom is at the top, peace. It has one letter, a vowel sound. It stands for a vowel sound in it that's been added to it. And so when we see this word, we know it's shalom. But the other three letters are the root word letters. So shalom peace means the peace you have because you're whole. That is the primary meaning. And when those angels said he's going to bring peace on earth, they meant he's going to bring wholeness. Wholeness. Wholeness with what? Wholeness with God, for one thing. I'm going to look into this the rest of the week, what Jesus brought, what shalom means.
So when you greet someone and you say shalom, tell me what you just said.
You mean be whole.
Be whole.
If you say ma shalom, you're asking them, what is your peace? Is anything broken about you? But if you just say shalom, I love this greeting because it's the one used throughout the Bible. It's the one used in Israel today. I answer my phone, shalom. I do my radio program, shalom. It means be whole.
I like it. Hallelujah.
Think of it, Gloria. Be
so
whole.
When we're in a prayer line and we customarily lay hands on people and we say, be healed.
You could say, sure. It's the same thing, Gloria.
Praise God.
It, in the Hebrew, it's the same idea.
Good. I like it. Hallelujah. Billy Brim's back with us.
And she's got some really great things for you to learn and for me to learn. She's teaching me, too.
And
I've
me
got
too.
Notes, and I'm ready to hear and grow up more and more.
You know, I wanted to, when you asked me to do this program, you tell me what you choose the subject. And I hadn't taught on this in a long, long time. And I thought, I need to reinforce myself on it. We used to have a pastor, Cooper Beatty, at our church in Collinsville, and he would say, when I point like this to you, I got a thumb going back at me. So that's how it is about this. Is, you know, faith comes how?
By hearing.
And hearing by how?
The Word of God.
So you see, I'm going to be
There's
getting...
There's no other way that it tells us we can get it.
No other way.
That I know about.
So I'm getting it. I'm going over the Word of it because our subject is shalom, the Hebrew word shalom. It means peace, but not just the absence of war. Mm-hmm. It means the peace that comes because something is whole. It has a root word to it.
Yes,
and the root
amen.
Word is whole. Be whole. W-H-O-L-E.
All is
Jesus
well.
Gave us, he said, you have wholeness with God. I came to give you wholeness. And we're going to get to that later.
Oh, that'll be good.
Now we're back in the Old Testament because there's where we find the Hebrew language and there where we find the basis for knowing what Jesus said to us and knowing that the angels didn't miss it when they said, he's come to give peace
Amen.
On earth,
Praise
goodwill
God.
Toward men.
That's going
so,
to be great.
Going just into the Hebrew way the language is built, there are about 240 some families or roots of, it's a root wheel, it's a like a wheel. And I'm going to just read you this from Horowitz's book, How the Hebrew Language Grew. We come now to the central theme of all word building in Hebrew. It is the central rhythm of the whole vast, far-flung structure of the Hebrew language. There's a rhythm to it. Practically all words in Hebrew go back to a root. And this root must have in it three consonants. I think there are some with two, but usually it's three. You can do anything you want to the root. You can use it in any verb form or tense. You can turn it into any one of 10 or 20 nouns. Same root. You can make it an adjective. You can make it an adverb, and you can make it a preposition. You can do anything you want to with it. But here's the big rule, underlying thought. No matter what you do, make it a verb, make it a noun, make it a preposition, no matter what you do, you will always see staring you in the face the three consonants of the root. You can never escape them. You cannot use any form of this word without seeing that it comes. We're going to take the word shalom, and the root word of it is shalim. You can't use any form of shalom without seeing in it shalim, without seeing in it wholeness. What did Jesus say to the woman with the issue of blood? Your faith has made you whole.
Yeah.
And I can guarantee you, he didn't speak Greek to her.
No.
He spoke Aramaic to her. And in Aramaic and Hebrew, they have the same letters, the same alphabet. He said, your faith has made you shalom.
Praise God.
There's nothing missing about you. And we're going to get to her and what all she got. Folks, we're going to even show you that she got her money back. That you know the position she spent all of her money on them. So wholeness. You don't see anything, any
That's
form
good.
Of this word unless you see whole. No matter what you do
nothing
with the...
Nothing missing.
No matter what you do with the root,
nothing
no
broken.
Matter what word you turn it into, that word must carry in it something of the meaning of the root.
Amen.
And now, Gloria, you can use this right here that we've got right
Is
here
this,
on that
this?
Page. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to look at the word shalim. It's a root word. It's one of the 240 plus root words. And it is shalim, and it means right here on the front, right there.
On the front.
Right there. And it means be whole, complete. It probably never occurred to you, he's writing to high school students who are studying Hebrew. They're Jews.
Mm-hmm.
This is a textbook. It probably never occurred to you, and it may faintly amuse you to know that when someone says to you inquiringly, Ma shalom lecha,
What is your peace? And Hebrews say it today. You greet someone. Actually, people were saying it down here at Eagle Mountain. I got off the plane yesterday, and one of the young men that greeted me and took my bag said, "Ma shalomech," which means, "What is your peace?" So if I'm greeting you, I might just say to you, "Shalom," but I might say to you, "Ma," that word is what? What is your peace? So they say that. They greet it every single day. This is said almost by every person in Israel to whomever they meet. What's your peace? He's actually asking you whether you are whole, complete.
What's the answer to what's your peace?
Tov. Good.
Tov, good.
Tov, todah.
Okay.
Good, thank you. Or you might say, Baruch Hashem, bless the Lord. Tov, Baruch Hashem, good, bless the Lord. And right on the streets every single day, Israelis are saying, Baruch Hashem, bless the Lord, good. Or if you really, you might say, Metsuyan, which is excellent. Or you might say, Beseder, everything's in order. Or you might say, Beseder Gemur. Everything is completely in order.
Or you might say, okay, if you're American.
Yeah. Or you might say, low tov, no good.
Low tov?
Yeah, low tov. Tov is good.
Low tov.
Low tov.
Tov, T-O-V,
tov. T-O-V, yeah, sure.
Low tov.
So you're going to have an answer. They're going to, and they'll answer you, you know. But usually you're going to get an answer, good, you know, something like that. So,
well, we do the same thing. Yeah. How are you, Dave? Fine.
Yeah, right.
Fine.
But
okay.
Theirs always is biblical. Their word's from the Bible.
Yes.
Their word is shalom, or what is your peace? And so I'm going to put up that word wheel. We just put together a little word wheel, and I certainly didn't put on this word wheel every word that comes from the root word shalom. The root word shalom, you see it there in the middle in the dark. Whole, complete. It means whole, complete, period. So go to the top, and up there we've put the word shalom is taken from this word. Yes, it's taken from this word. You see it at the top there, shalom. You can even in English, you can kind of figure out that shalom is still in there. So that's the peace that comes from being whole. Now, here's another idea of a word that grows from this root. And you'll see it there to the right, to pay, shalem, to pay.
If you owe somebody?
If you owe somebody, you got to pay it. Because why? They're not whole without it. If you took an apple from the corner grocery store, that grocer is not whole.
Yeah.
Until you pay for that apple. So the idea of payment is in there. The word payment comes from this.
Hmm.
Or made peace, or entirety. All of these words come from that root word, whole, be whole. Now, it's a greeting that's in the Hebrew today. I mean, you go down the street, Gloria, and if you take a trip to Israel, we take trips to Israel, lots of people do. If you take a trip to Israel, you can go with me in May, I'm going over there, you're going to hear people say all the time to you, shalom. And you can even say, even if you're an English speaker, shalom, you know, you're saying to them, be whole. And so I'm going to read to you from, this comes from, I think it's Strong's. He gives this meaning of shalom. It comes, you can mean happy, well, friendly, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, health, be at peace, rest, be safe, be well, be whole. All of those things are in that word. And the root, speaking of the root word, shalem, Strong says it's a primitive root and it means to be safe in mind and body or estate. In your mind, in your body, or your state. To be whole in your mind, to be whole in your body, to be whole in your world, in your goods, in what belongs to you.
Nothing missing.
Nothing missing. It means to be completed. It can mean to be friendly. It means to repay, pay again, recompense, render. And so whenever they greet each other, they're always within there is the idea of welfare, health, and prosperity. Now, in the Bible, we see this used all the time, but you don't see it in the English. Sometimes you can see it, but sometimes not. For instance, this is coming from Exodus 18:7. And Moses went out to meet his father-in-law and did obeisance and kissed him. And they asked each other of their welfare. And they came into the tent.
Like we do. How are you?
Yes, exactly.
How are you doing today?
But what word did they use?
I don't know.
Shalom. And if you can look in your Hebrew Bible, I can look over there and I can see it's shalom. You can go on Strong's, whatever. It's shalom. Welfare. They ask for your welfare. They ask, are you whole today, dear father-in-law? Is anything about you broken? Did anybody steal a sheep last night? You know?
Are you sick?
You know, it's...
Do you owe a lot of money today?
Do you owe a lot of money? Here's the thing, Gloria. God's will for us is wholeness.
That's right.
W-H-O-L-E-N-E-S-S.
Always has been.
Good welfare.
Well, look at the garden. What did they lack in the garden before sin came?
Nothing.
Before they listened to the devil? Nothing. Everything was there. It was provided for them. The food was on trees. You didn't have to even cook anything.
Glory to God.
Those days are gone.
Didn't I had to peel the potatoes?
Didn't have to peel the potatoes. Think about it.
Oh, my goodness.
That's God's will.
That's God's
will. It's still His will for all of us, for you and me. Now, if we'll get in the Word, we can get back into the will of God. And we can enjoy the things. We can live in a garden.
Because that's what Jesus provided. He said,
I
came to give you peace.
That's right.
I came to give you wholeness.
That's right.
He came to give us wholeness. That's what the angels told us. And we're going to see that as we go more in depth in the New Testament. That's what He told us.
That's awesome.
Ooh, glory to God.
I believe it.
You don't have to beg God for things.
Mm-mm.
Bless the Lord.
I believe it.
Now, here's another a case in the Bible where it's shown of greeting. In Judges 18 and 15, and they turned thitherward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even under the house of Micah, and saluted him. So you wouldn't think that was the word shalom, but it is. In the Bible, they saluted him and they said to him, shalom, which means behold. They said to that young man. Now, here's another scripture that you might be more familiar with, and it's 1 Samuel 17:17. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now, you know, this is when he, you know, remember, he's gonna be facing Goliath. This is on page 3.
I couldn't find it.
Yeah, there it is right there.
Okay, page 3.
He's going to go down because Goliath has challenged the armies of Israel. And David, he's the shepherd boy at home.
Yeah.
And the father sends him down there to see about his brothers. So we see what he asks. 1 Samuel 17:17. And Jesse said unto David, his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves and run to the camp to thy brethren and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000 and look how thy brethren fare and take their pledge. Verse 22. And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. So here we find in verse 18, the father says to David, find out how your brethren fare, King James English. That's not what he said. He said, find out their peace. This word is shalom. The word shalom here is translated fair. F-A-R-E, how do your brethren fare? What is their welfare, in other words? He's asking, what's their shalom?
How are you getting along?
Yeah, he's asking them, are you whole? Did the Philistines last night come and rob you? Do you have enough to eat?
That's
you know,
good.
Did they put a siege on you? Find out about it. Find out if they're whole.
Yes.
So, 1 Samuel 17:22, David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. So he said to his brethren, shalom.
Shalom.
That word saluted is, actually there's 2 words here, Sha'el Shalom. He asked of their peace.
He asked of their peace. He said to them, Ma Shalom. But here it's using, you know, this tense that says he asked of their peace. He asked, what is your shalom? What is your wholeness? So this is the common Hebrew all through the Bible. This is
and
what
we
they
say. How are you? Which is
amounts
to pretty much the same thing.
Not kind of, but without giving that strong Hebrew, you know, God's will is for you to be whole. That's God's will for you. Now, I want to go in a wonderful story in 2 Kings. And this just blesses me. I absolutely love to read this, knowing this. 2 Kings chapter 4. And this is the Shunammite woman, we say, but it's really pronounced Shunammite. So I'm going to say that because I'm used to saying that. And Elisha the prophet. So this is 2 Kings 4, and we'll start with verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. There was a great woman, and she was constrained. She constrained him to eat bread. The Bible does not put down women. Deborah was a prophet. Esther was used to save Israel. And this Shunammite woman is described in the Bible as a great woman. So Elisha passed by her place there in Shunem, and she told him, come in and eat. And she told her husband, she said, this is a man of God, and we need to fix him a place to stay when he's in this area. So they build a room, they build a chamber for Elisha the prophet to stay in. And he did. As he came through ministering, he would go there. So one day he says to his, in verse 12, he says to his servant, you know, this woman's been so good to us, this great woman. Let's see what she needs. Let's see if we can bless her. Because there's a blessing for blessing prophets, even in the New Testament.
Yes,
it says you should give them a cold water. You get a blessing. So he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite and see what she needs. And what can we do for her? And she said, you can do nothing. She said, I dwell among my people. And so he asked Gehazi, did you notice anything she needs? And he said, well, she doesn't have a child, and her husband's old. So he called the woman in, Elisha, in verse 16, and he said, about this season, according to the time of life, you shall embrace a son. Verse 17, and the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. Well, the son grows up. One day he's out in the fields with his father and his head begins to hurt. Probably, I would think, sunstroke, something like that. And he said, my head, my head. And the father, knowing of the mother's great faith, he says, take him to his mother. So he goes to his mother and she holds his head in her lap and then he dies. And so notice what she did after he died. Verse 21. She went on and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, send me one of the young men and one of the asses that I may run to the man of God and come again. And the husband said, well, why are you going to the man of God? It's not the new moon or it's not the Sabbath. She said, verse 23, mm-hmm. King James says that she says it shall be well. That's
not
what she
said. She didn't want to say what was wrong.
No, she didn't want to say what was wrong. She said one word. And if you had a good reference Bible, you can look in your Center Reference column, which Gloria's got one. She said, Shalom. What does that mean? Everything's whole. I have
a
peace that comes.
I put a note in my Bible that said, she did not say the boy is dead.
No, she did not say the boy is
dead. She refused to rehearse it.
She didn't say that boy was broken from her. She didn't say, my son is gone from me. She said, Shalom, I have the peace that comes from being whole, and she's not whole without that boy. So she goes to the man of God, and the man of God says, Gehazi, go and find out why she's coming. He sees her coming from afar.
Yeah.
And so he said, run and find out what she said. And so he said, ask her, verse 26. King James reads like this, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband?
Is everything okay?
Is it well with the child? And see, but every time he says, what's the peace? Every one of those is it wells is, what is the peace? Find out.
What is the peace of your husband? What is the peace of your child? What is your peace? And her answer, shalom.
She stayed with it.
Mashalom. Mashalom of your husband. Mashalom of your son. Mashalom of you. Shalom. I have it. The peace that comes from being whole. And he said, the Lord hadn't revealed to me what's wrong with this woman, something though. And he said, you go and find out. You go and go fast there to her house and lay my staff on that child. And Gehazi did, and nothing happened. So finally, he goes back. He goes to the child, Elisha the prophet. And he sees the child is dead on his bed. And so he goes in, verse 33, and he shuts the door, just him and the boy, and he prays unto Jehovah. And God showed him what to do. He laid his mouth where the child's mouth was, his hands where the child's mouth was, his flesh. He stretched himself out upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he walked up to and down and down to
he,
and forth.
He didn't lay hands on him. He laid his body.
Because that's what God showed him to
body.
Do when he prayed.
Yeah.
And then the child opened his eyes,
praise
sneezed
God.
Seven times, and he said, call the Shunammite and tell her she can take up her son.
Isn't that good?
But what did it come from? It came from her confession. I've
all
got the
well.
Peace that comes from being whole.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm whole. My household is whole. It can't be whole without my son.
Now, if she had started telling about, you won't believe what happened today. I just don't know what I'm going to do. My son is dead. There would have been no faith in that.
No.
And there would have been no miracle of raising him up.
No. And she would
see, that's what we got to remember in our lives, our personal lives, not just about big things like death, but it also includes that. What do we say? What are we going to say when the pressure comes? And what we say is what we get. That's the Bible. New Testament says you can have what you say in so many words.
Yeah, she did.
And she said it, and she got it. You can say it, and you can get it. If you know, you're not going to just never pay attention to the Word of God, not do anything about obeying God in your life or make any changes that He's urging you to make and just have saying faith that works like that. No, this is a lifestyle. You say from now on what you want to come to pass. And if you don't want it to come to pass, you don't say it. Isn't that right, Billy?
Amen. That's it.
And when you start taking your words seriously, the words are serious whether you take them serious or not, but they're serious for you or they're serious against you.
Yes.
God hears what you say. That's your faith talking.
If she hadn't said shalom, that story wouldn't be in the Bible.
No, it wouldn't.
Mm-mm. We're studying about shalom, and it is, of course, translated peace. But it's much more than the absence of war in the Bible. That word means whole, complete.
Whole and complete.
Be complete and be sound. And so there's a couple of places we're going to read in the Bible where it's used, and you would never guess it just reading the English. So it is spoken of as the temple was completed. Temple, the 1 Kings 7 and 51. 1 Kings 7, 51, it says, it's down here, Gloria.
Oh,
put them all
okay.
down there. Yeah. So was ended all the work that King Solomon made for the house of the Lord. Now that means completed. That word right there is shalom. It's a form of shalom. It is a form that says sound, ended, complete. Whole, a form,
good.
One of the words that comes from the word shalom.
Okay.
So it was whole. Now you think about the temple. This is the temple. And there came a place where it says, Solomon finished the work and ended, made complete, shalom. Yes. The Holy Ghost is making us complete. We are going to be complete as the whole temple of God. The Holy Ghost is building us as a house for his glory, for his presence. But actually, as God sees you in Jesus, He made everything complete for you. It's all done. He doesn't have to do anything else.
No, it's been
you just
finished.
Have to get it into your life.
Bless the Lord. And in your spirit, it's so right now.
But receiving.
Just receiving it. Bless the Lord. Speaking about that, nothing left but just receiving it. Get that one right there, the goodness of God. I want to read from this, Gloria. Oh, this blesses me. I wrote this down in my Bible. David Barron, mm-hmm. who was born in Russia in 1855, and he was brought up in the very best Hebrew schools. He converted to Christianity. But he comments, I love his books because he comments, let's say, on the book of Zechariah. That book was a closed book to me until I read his commentary on it because he knows the Hebrew so well. And so in the Zechariah chapter 9, verse 17, it says, how great is his goodness. Speaking of God, how great is his goodness. Mm-hmm. And so then he comments, this is on page 2, Gloria. Okay. This is David Barron's comments on the goodness of God. Goodness is very frequently attributed to God in the Old Testament. As for instance, in Psalm 31:19, oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that put their trust in thee before the sons of men. They shall utter, and in Psalm 145:7, they shall utter the memory of thy great goodness. So he quotes some scriptures that speaks of God's goodness. Now listen to this statement. This is the statement I wrote in my flyleaf of my Bible. Goodness is that attribute of God whereby he loves to communicate. To communicate means give. Mm-hmm. To all who can or will receive it, all good.
Yes, Lord.
Yea, himself, who is the fullness and universality of good, creator of all good, not in one way, not in one kind of goodness only, but absolute goodness.
Yes.
Without beginning, without limit,
nothing
without measure. This good, his goodness, bestows on all and each according to what? God's goodness? No.
Our ability to take it, to
exactly.
receive it.
According to the capacity of each to receive it. Nor is there any limit to his giving, save his creature's capacity of receiving.
What's that talking about there, Billy?
His goodness.
It's talking about your faith to receive it.
Exactly. How are you going to receive it, Glo?
I'm going to receive it. I'm going to take it. I'm going to believe it.
How?
By faith.
You only
take it by faith.
There is no limit to his giving.
Mm-mm.
Save his creature's capacity of receiving, which also is a good gift from him.
You know, the thing
is a gift.
After we begin to learn about faith and how it operates, we found out we'd been blessed already.
Exactly.
Everything already belonged to us.
Exactly, Gloria.
The desires of our heart we could have if we just receive it by faith. Faith what? Based on what? Faith based on what God has already said. We've got a faith book. It's called the Bible. It's full of faith.
Absolutely.
And you put your eyes and your ears on the word of faith, and faith comes into your eyes and into your ears and down into your heart where you can use it.
Yeah. And how do you get it out of you?
Speak it.
Speak it.
Act on it. You act on it. You speak it. You don't say anything except what you want to come to pass. Ken and I don't say things that we don't want in our lives. Because that's the way faith works.
Absolutely.
And that's the way the curse works. You take bad stuff into your life and it'll come in.
Okay. All right. We're talking about shalom. The peace that comes from being whole.
Yes, that's right.
He has provided for us wholeness.
Nothing missing.
Nothing missing.
Nothing broken.
Jesus said, I come to give you shalom, not as the world gives it.
That's right.
And we're going to talk about exactly how that
came.
Bless the Lord.
Let's do it.
Hallelujah. We're looking at the Old Testament now and where this word, a form of the word is used. That'll help you in your New Testament faith and believing if you see how it's used in the Old Testament place, especially when we're going to get to something in a minute about money and payment. 1 Kings 7:51 in the Amplified says, all the work that King Solomon did on the house of the Lord was completed. So that's a form of shalem. Thus all the work, 2 Chronicles 5:1, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. But every one of these are a form of the word shalem, the root word, whole, complete. Oh. Now, it means be sound. The root word shalem means be sound, be uninjured. So here that word is used in Job. It means prosperity, wholeness of prosperity. Job 9:4. And this is Job answering one of his accusers. And he says, he's talking about God. He is wise in heart, mighty in strength. That's God. Whoever has hardened himself against God, has he prospered?
No.
No. Why is that word prospered?
No, no, no.
That is the word in the King James.
I can't find where you
that
are.
Is the word. It's on two, right here in the book of Job.
Okay.
Has he prospered? Mm-hmm. If you set yourself against God, and actually that word is from the root word shalem. Is he whole? No, you're not going to be whole. Nobody's going to be whole who sets himself against God.
No.
So that word for prosper.
That's where you get the curse.
That's where you're going to get the curse. You're not going to be having the blessings. You're going to be having the cursing. So if you come against God, you're not going to be whole.
When we begin to find out the word is true and we can take it and act on it way back, things begin to work for us.
Absolutely.
Where before we'd had just problems and debt and lack.
So did you begin to be made whole?
Yes.
Did you begin to have the blessing of prosperity?
Absolutely.
It's
and
in the Word.
We still have it.
It's in the Word, Gloria.
Yeah.
It's in there.
But
safety.
You have to receive it.
You have to receive
That's the
it.
Key. Yeah.
Safety
and
is in
And you have
that
to
word.
Receive it. You have to know it. You have to hear it.
Yes.
You can't receive something you don't know.
Gloria.
So it's up to us.
Let's take this idea.
Okay.
God may want you to be sick to teach you a great lesson. God wants you to be poverty stricken to teach you a great lesson. That's anti the Word of God.
Sure it is.
That's anti the character of God.
Anti the blessing.
That's anti the blessing.
Anti
That's anti the goodness. That's anti the wholeness.
That's right.
And it says here in Job, if you set yourself against God, did you prosper?
Mm-mm.
Amplified translates it, have you prospered or ever been safe?
No.
Anyone who did that?
If you may not be old enough to remember, but if you're an adult, you remember when you didn't pay any attention to God, and you remember the problems you had, and you remember the bills you had, or if it wasn't financial, you remember the sicknesses that tried to dog your heels all the time. And it just, that's key. You got to believe the Word of God, put it in your eyes and ears, get it in your heart, and then there's still one more step. You start saying it with your mouth. I believe I've received the blessing. I believe I've received healing. I've received my healing. Somebody calls you on the phone and you answer and they want to know how you're doing. I believe I've received my healing. Are you feeling better? I believe I received my healing. You stay with that word. You do the same thing in prosperity and money.
Because you know that God wants you well.
Yeah.
And God wants you prosperous. He wants you, W-H-O-L-E, whole.
Mm-hmm.
He wants you to know that He supplied it. And the only thing limiting it is your capacity to receive it.
Right.
But if you have in your head, what does it say in 1 John 1? They said, John said, we walked with Him. We touched Him. We heard Him. And we've got a message for you. That you can have fellowship with God and with us. That's working together as partners.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the message. God is light. And in Him is no darkness at all.
And God is love.
And God is love. And what does it say concerning goodness? Every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from Him,
Father
from the Father of light.
Yes.
In whom there's no shadow of turning.
That's right.
He doesn't turn from the light. He doesn't turn from the light. He's all good. He wants you whole. He wants you, W-H-O-L-E, he wants you to have shalom.
Complete.
He wants you to have the peace that comes from being whole.
Praise God.
Now we're going to get down to this, how this word is used in the Bible as payment. Because on that word wheel that we showed you, the shalom word wheel, we showed you that the word payment and the word to pay is in that word wheel. It's in the shalom word wheel. Now, we're going to see it here, how God set this forth. Maybe you don't like Leviticus. You don't like to have to read there. But if you're going to understand God's using of the word and God's meaning of prosperity, you need to know these things. You need to know these are basic. These are fundamental forms of wholeness.
That's why we study the Bible. We study the Bible to see what belongs to us and how to receive it into our lives.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot belongs to people, but they don't have any idea how to take it or receive it.
And they don't even know it belongs to them.
No, they don't know. You can't take it if you don't know it.
No, you got to know.
So what's the cure? Getting
knowing.
The Word of God sent
yes.
under teachers that
faith.
Know what they're talking
Brother
about.
Brother Hagin used to say, faith is concomitant with knowledge. It comes from knowing. It comes from knowing the Word, knowing what God... You absolutely cannot believe for something unless you think it's God's will for you. So here in the Old Testament, we're going to see that paying and payment has to do.
Hmm.
And this is in Leviticus 5.
What
right
page?
Here.
Okay.
Leviticus 5, 20 through 24. And I put this from the Art Scrolls edition. They say Hashem right here. They say Hashem when they mean Jehovah. Because they don't say Jehovah.
They
Hashem
do not,
spoke
they
to
don't
Moses.
Speak that word, do they?
Saying, if a person sins and commits a treachery against Hashem by lying to his comrade regarding a pledge or a loan or a robbery, or by defrauding a comrade, or if he found a lost item and denied it, and he swore falsely about any of the things that a person can do and sin thereby, so shall it be, he'll be guilty. Let's go down to verse 24. Here's what he's supposed to do. If he lies about it, if he doesn't do right, it says in verse 24, or he stole something.
Mm-hmm.
About anything which he's sworn falsely, he shall repay its principal and add its fifth to it. He shall give it to its owner on the day he admits his guilt. That word repay is from the word shalem, to pay. From wholeness.
Now, would that be 20% interest?
I guess it would, Gloria. Add a fifth to it. I don't know if it means five times or over, or probably add fifth to it. But you're gonna pay some interest because mm-hmm. of what you stole or what you lied about.
Yeah.
But you got to repay it, because why? If you don't repay it, you have left that man not whole.
Not whole. Yeah, uh-huh. That's right.
And God's will is that men be whole. So go down to here. I'm going to skip to there. I won't either, because this helps us right here. Leviticus 5:16, King James Version says, he shall make amends for the harm. The Amplified Flight said he must make restitution
mm-hmm.
for what he's done and shall add a fifth to it. So I guess you're right.
Oh, you 20%. Add a fifth.
Add a fifth to it.
Okay. I didn't remember the add
yeah,
a fifth.
Yeah, but 20% is what you said. It was right. Your math is good, Miss Glow.
Well, so, don't brag about it.
He makes you got to make the guy whole again. Plus, you're going to add more to him. You have to make him whole. That's the point. And 21:33, if a man shall open a pit and he digs it and he doesn't cover it, and another man's an ox or donkey falls into it, the owner, shall make it good and give money unto the owner of them. But the dead beast carcass shall be his. So this says you're going to make it good, and that make it good is pay, and it comes from the root word to make whole. And how are you going to do it? You're going to do it with money. Always that Old Testament has the idea of you got to pay to make the man whole again. You got to make restitution with his money, with his goods. Ecclesiastes 5:4, when you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it. So, bless the Lord. I have some other things down here, and if you'll send in for the notes, you'll get it. But I want to go back to that Shunammite woman. I want to go back to her. And we're going to, our Shunammite woman, we're going to go to 2 Kings chapter 8. Now, you remember yesterday that we talked about this Shunammite woman, how she made a little room, a little prophet's chamber for Elisha the prophet, and he wanted to repay her, so he prophesied she's going to have a son. She had a son in a year, and then the son grew up, probably a teenager, working with his father in the fields, gets sick in the fields, comes in, lays on her lap, and dies. So she tells her husband, I want the fastest transportation I can get. So she goes to Elisha, the son of the man of God, and he says, what's wrong? Find out what is the peace to his servant. Find out what is the peace of her husband. What is the peace of her? And every time she answers, King James says, it is well. But every time she answers, shalom. Nothing broken. She says what she wants, Gloria, not what she has.
Yeah.
She says what she wants, shalom.
That's a good point.
Now, we're going to go over to chapter 8. And now we're talking about repaying a loss. That man's donkey falls into the pit you dug and you didn't cover it up. You're going to pay that man for that donkey. And it says money. You're going to make the man whole. You're going to make restitution. That means make whole. Yep. And you're going to pay him. You're going to do it with money. So here is this woman. Chapter 8. Then spoke Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life again, saying, arise and go thou in thine household and sojourn. There is a famine. There's a famine that's going to be 7 years. And he tells the woman, the famine is coming. It's coming to this land. He tells the Shunammite woman, but you go over to actually what's Gaza today, and you're going to be kept there. So the woman goes over there for 7 years, and she stays there. Now, as the end of 7 years, this is chapter 8, verse 3, it came to pass at the 7 years' end that the woman returned out of the land of the Philistines, and she went forth to cry unto the king for her house and for her money and for her land. She wants back what she had before those 7 years when she had to leave. So the king was talking, just happened to be talking, with Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. And he says, tell me, I pray thee, some of the great things, all the great things Elisha's done. And just as that servant was telling the king about Elisha raising this woman's son, it came to pass as he was telling the king how Elisha had restored a dead body to life, that behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life at that moment was crying to the king for her house and for her land. That was the very moment she said, I want my things back. And Gehazi says, oh, king, this is the woman. And this is her son. Evidently, he was standing there with her, whom Elisha restored to life. And when the king asked the woman, she told him. So the king appointed unto her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the fruits of the land since that day, everything that land produced since that day for 7 years, that she left the land until now. So we see with this woman, the Shunammite woman, it was paid to her. She had to be made whole. That was in her covenant with God. And God so arranged that when she goes back to that king and she asks for her lands back, just so happened that Elisha's servant was there saying, oh, you know, one time the king said, tell me all the great things he did. Well, one time there was a woman and her son died and God raised him to life. Uh-oh, who's that I see? That's her right there. And that's a son with her. And so she goes up to the king and she says, I want my land back. The king said, you got it, sister. And you got everything it produced since then. Because why? It says it made restitution. She was made whole. That's God's way.
Yes.
Now we're going to remember this story because we're going to remember it when we talk about the woman with the issue of blood in the New Testament.
Amen.
You'll have to keep watching.
Ooh, yeah. Don't miss any of that. Praise God. Billy's back with us. She's going to tell you some more good things. Are you wound up, Billy?
I'm wound up. And I want to today establish that in that root word, shalom, from which shalom comes, the peace that comes from being whole,
mm-hmm.
you cannot be whole unless your goods have been restored to you. Payment is in that word. You can see on the wheel the word payment, to pay. They are words that come from the root word shalem, to make whole. And now we're going to look at where they're used in the Old Testament. 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1, if you have your Bible there with you. This is a story that we all are pretty well familiar with Elisha the prophet and his miracles. This is one of them. 2 Kings 4, 1. Now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of prophets unto Elisha, saying... Elisha had a school for prophets.
And it's interesting that this woman was a widow.
Yeah, she was a widow. Oh, yes. This woman is a widow, and her son was her husband was one of the prophets in the school of Elisha. And so she said to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen." You could in those days go into servitude, you know, till the debt was paid. And Elisha said unto her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me what you have in your house." And she said, "Your handmaid has not anything in the house except a pot of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow the vessels abroad of all your neighbors, empty vessels, and borrow not a few." Now, Gloria, remember when we studied about goodness? It's everything. God has everything, and it's limited only by one's capacity to receive.
Think big.
Think big. He told her, "You go and borrow vessels, and borrow not a few." In other words, get as many as you can carry in here.
That's right. That's right.
So that shows you, Gloria, in the Old Testament, you see the character of God.
That's right.
You see the character that He provides fullness. He provides completeness.
Yes.
He provides abundance.
That's right. That's right.
So He said, "Go borrow these vessels, not a few. And when you come in, shut the door upon you and your sons and pour out unto all these vessels." So she had some oil. It's what you do with what you got, and never mind how much you got.
That's right.
So she had that little pot of oil, and she began to fill those vessels.
She could have said, "Well, I don't have anything to give, and all I've got is this little dab of oil."
Right.
And you know,
what I need with all
I need to keep that for myself.
Yeah, and what about all these vessels here? But she evidently believed Elisha. She'd heard
she
the
had
report.
Faith, yeah.
Well, see, her son was in his school.
Yeah.
So she knew what he could do, what God did through him. So, in verse 5, 2 Kings 4, verse 5, she went from him and shut the door upon her and her vessels, her sons, who had brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. She started pouring. And it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said unto her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said unto her, "There's not a vessel more." And the oil stayed. The oil stopped. You see, what God provided did not stop until her capacity ended.
That's good. That's good.
And remember what we read, that goodness of God is limited only by one's capacity to receive.
That's right.
Whatever God has for me, whatever goodness He has for me, whatever wholeness He has for me, spirit, soul, body, finances, I'm the one who limits it. I limit it. Only with my capacity to receive.
That's right.
So what do I need to do? Work on my capacity. In that day, I should have gotten a few more pots. But in this day, I should build my faith.
And say words.
And say words to release it.
Yes.
Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So, 2 Kings 4, 7, she came and told the man of God, Elisha, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt." This word pay, it's a form of shalom. It's a form of shalem, excuse me, the root word. It is definitely included in her debtors, and God was not willing to leave them without. He wanted her to pay her debts. He didn't want all those people who had loaned to her to be without being whole.
Yes.
So for them to be without being whole, which is God's way, she had to pay them, leshalem them. She had to pay them money. And He provided the money to do it because that is God's way. He'll pay your debts if you'll trust Him.
I can guarantee you that.
Yeah.
I know that.
You know
true.
That for sure, don't you, girl?
I do.
Now, this is from Psalm 37:21, and I'm reading to you from a Hebrew translation. The wicked one borrows and he will not repay, while the righteous one graciously gives. That's Psalm 37:21. That word repay, its root word is shalem, whole, be whole, complete. So they have a note in the Art Scrolls that comes from the Art Scrolls Tehillim, and Art Scrolls put this note. It does not say that he does not pay later when the debt becomes due. Rather, it says he will not pay. When he first borrowed, he had no intention of ever repaying. That's the wicked man. He wills not to repay.
That's different.
That's a different thing. Now, make compensation for injury. We read about this yesterday. We're going to read some more scriptures from Leviticus 24:18. He that kills a beast shall make it good. Beast for beast. Now that word, make it good, is shalom. It comes from the root, make whole. If you kill a beast, if you kill your farmer's, your next door neighbor's ox, then you got to pay him for that ox. Now let's go on down to a couple of next verses. Leviticus 24:19. And if a man cause a blemish to his neighbor, as he hath done, so shall it be done unto him. Breach for breach, eye for eye, tooth for tooth. As he hath caused a blemish in a man, so shall it be done to him. The Art Scrolls has a note on this. This passage contains perhaps the most misunderstood phrase in the Torah, an eye for an eye. The unlearned maintain that it originally meant literally, but was later interpreted by the sages to mean monetary compensation. That's wrong. The Torah, the first five books of the Bible, never required anything other than monetary damages. In addition to the oral tradition from Sinai, that means when Moses was up on Sinai, God gave him the written word, but he also gave him an oral word, and Moses spoke that to Joshua, and Joshua spoke it to the other. So from the time of Sinai, the Talmud proves that on logical grounds and through scriptural exegesis, that the verses cannot be understood in any other way except monetary. The sages, back from the time of Moses, expounded that these penalties are to be understood as monetary payment for damages. For example, a singer with a mangled finger, he doesn't lose as much of the value of that finger as a pianist who would lose his whole living.
Yeah.
So you got to satisfy according to the loss of that. But the Hebrew word translated make it good, the Art Scrolls, when it translates make it a restitution, it always has to do with paying back what is lost.
Restoring.
Now, Jesus, when he's in the New Testament, let's look at Mark chapter 5. He knows all this principle. We studied yesterday about that woman, that Shunammite woman, that made that little room for the prophet. And then the prophet told her, and he raised her son from the dead. And then the prophet told her, you know, there's going to be a famine in the land. You need to go down to the land of the Philistines. So she goes down to the land of Philistines. And then after 7 years, she comes back to the king, and she knows the principle. She knows she's supposed to get back and not lose. So she goes to the king, and she said, I want my land back. And he says, right at that very time, the servant of Elisha happened to be telling the king all about, because the king asked, who put that question in his mind? God did. And the king asked, tell me the miracles that Elisha did. So he's telling him all the miracles, and he tells about this raising of the dead. And he looks and sees this woman and her son. He says, there she is right there. And so then the woman says, I want restitution, because she knew the character of God. She knew what she had done for the prophet, and she knew that she could be paid back. Now, Jesus knew all these principles, of course. He's walking. When Jesus is walking on the earth, the only Bible they've got is the Old Testament. But he walks in it. I mean, he does not. He fulfills every jot, every tittle. Now, look at here, and he knows the character of God. Look at here. We're going to talk about this woman with the issue of blood. We're going to start with Mark chapter 5, verse 24. And Jesus went with him. This is the ruler of the synagogue. His little daughter lies at home sick, you know. And this is right here. We're going to read from the Bible here.
Okay.
In Mark chapter 5, verse 24. And Jesus went with him. This is Jairus, we say, and he's going back because his little daughter's dying. Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be what?
Whole.
Now here she is. She doesn't speak Greek. She speaks Aramaic. And she reads the Bible if she has a Bible, which she probably doesn't because it was hard to get in those days. She's going to say, Shalem. She's going to say, I shall be Shalem. I shall be whole. That's that root word, Shalem. This word is translated in the New Testament as sozo. Sozo in the Greek is really the same as Shalem in the Hebrew. Sozo in the Greek, where it says, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall be saved. It's the word sozo. And that word sozo means whole. Everything is in it. Schofield, in his Bible, he said, that's an all-inclusive word. Salvation, the word they use for, is a form of sozo in the New Testament. It's an all-inclusive word. It includes deliverance. It includes healing. It includes prosperity. It's the same thing as Shalem in the Old Testament. The New Testament was written in Greek because the Greeks had come all over the world. They had Hellenized it, and Greek had become the trade language of the world. So those Aramaic-speaking apostles and writers in the New Testament, those Hebrew readers, they at least translated or wrote for the world, the Gentiles. And the Gentile world spoke Greek. But that's not what she said. She said, if I may touch but his garment, I shall be Shalem,
made whole.
Or, and we translated it, the King James people translated it whole. But in the Greek, it's sozo. So straightway the fountain of her body was dried up, verse 29, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. She's made whole of it. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that dunamis had gone out of him, virtue, it says, or power in the King James, turned about and said, who touched my clothes? The Greek there has the idea, he kept saying it over and over, who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging thee? Mm-hmm. And you say, who touched me? But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her daughter, listen what he said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.
She said her faith with her mouth.
She said it with her mouth. And he replies to her three times. He uses a form of the word whole. He would have answered her in Hebrew or in Aramaic. Daughter, your faith has made you shalem. Go in shalom and be shalem of thy plague.
Go in wholeness.
Go in peace, shalom, the peace that comes because you're whole, and be shalem of your plague. He uses a form of the word whole three times. Now she said she's going to be made whole. And he says to her three times, your faith hath made you whole. Now, Gloria, I'm going to say something here that Brother Hagin, he said something. He'll say something like this. Now, I believe what I'm going to say to you. I can't prove it by the word, But you can't prove that it's not so.
Yes, I've heard him say that.
You have heard him say that, haven't you, Glow? Okay, here's what I think. Why did the Bible bother to tell us that she'd spent all her money? It says here that she was a woman who had an issue of blood 12 years. She suffered many things of many physicians, and she spent all that she had.
Trying to be well.
Yeah. She spent everything she had. She spent her money. But she said, if I touch him, I shall be shalim. I shall be whole. And he said to her three times, you're going to be whole. You go in the peace that comes from being whole. You'll be whole. I think based on Old Covenant thought, Old Testament thought, it was under her the same as it was under the Shunammite woman. I believe this woman got her fortune back. She got her money back.
Behold.
I can't prove it. I can prove the principle of it from the Old Testament. And you can't prove anywhere that it's the principle of God that she didn't get it back. Because she said, I'm going to be whole. And Jesus said, your faith has made you whole. Go in shalom and be whole of your plague. When he said that, I believe that money started finding its way back to her.
I believe it.
Just like that woman, that woman with the oil, that woman with the Shunammite woman, she got everything back. She did. We got the Old Testament principle. And it's so important that you understand root words. And in those root words that she said, the root words to them was her wholeness. It was her prosperity. If God told them in the Old Testament, if you even cause a man's donkey to fall into a hole, or you blemish an ox, you do something to him, you got to pay him back, and you got to add interest to it. Do you think God is any different? Does he live by another principle? No. He lives by the principle. She said she's going to be whole. Jesus said three times she's going to be whole. And remember what Jesus said? I don't say anything the Father didn't say.
Yeah.
So the Father said, you're going to get it back. You're going to get back your fortune. You're going to be whole. You're not going to have this anymore. And all you spend on all those physicians, you can get back. I can tell you right now, the devil, the Bible says, he's a thief. He comes to steal.
To steal.
To kill.
Kill.
And to destroy.
And destroy.
First thing it says about him is he's
all
a thief.
All of those things take away from
all of those things somebody. Take away. But in all that he thieved, you can get back plus interest.
I believe it.
Plus interest. Isn't that what he told him? You pay some interest on this here. That woman got her land back, and she got that Shunammite woman, and she got all that it had produced for those 7 years.
Praise God.
And I imagine even in drought times, it had produced some things. So here he is saying to this woman with the issue of blood, it's the same principle of the Old Testament. He didn't use Greek words. He's talking to her. She's talking to him. She said, shalim. I want to be shalim. I want to be whole. And he said, okay, you go. You're going to be shalim. You go in peace, the peace that comes from being whole. Your faith made you whole.
Amen. So, nothing missing. Nothing broken.
Nothing missing. Nothing broken. And I know my son-in-law suffered, he has a miracle healing from, God replaced his pancreas. But I know that when there was that time when he was 27 days in a coma, he's a lawyer. And, and then it took him a while getting over it. The devil robbed. Sickness robs from you.
Sure it does.
It robs your peace. It robs your money. It robs. So Jesus wants you well. And if you can believe, how do you believe? How do you get it back? How do you increase your capacity?
Hearing the word.
Hearing the word. Faith comes to you. You say it with your mouth. You don't go around saying all day, I lost all my money. Mm-hmm. You go around saying, God's good.
My faith makes me whole.
My faith makes me whole.
Glory to God.
I touch his goodness by faith. And he'll show you how. But I'm telling you right now, Gloria, I hear people saying the wrong things, the wrong things,
they
the wrong things.
They don't have a clue. That
they're even
calling,
sometimes they're Christians and supposed to have a clue.
The problem to themselves.
That's right.
Now remember that. When you speak negative words, when you speak lack words, when you speak lackness words about yourself and your situation, you are calling those things to yourself. Unless when you speak about those things, you speak what God says about it, then you're calling the blessing to yourself. You think that's just too simple. That's the way it is.
And that's simple for you and me, Gloria.
Yeah, Billy and I got it. Thank you for being here. We'll see you again in a moment.
You can stay centered in peace no matter what's happening. God's perfect shalom is peace, wholeness, and everything good. God promises you peace. The Shalom Package reveals the difference between the world's definition of peace and God's plan for your complete wholeness and restoration. Receive life-changing insights with these powerful resources and teaching notes by Dr. Billy Brim. How the Hebrew Language Grew, a book by Edward Horowitz, reveals God's principle that all things grow from roots. Discover more about Hebrew root words such as shalom and amen, word and picture connections, and the wagon wheel of meanings. Shalom, the Peace That Comes from Being Whole, a mini-book by Dr. Billy Brim, helps you understand God's plan for your complete well-being. God's shalom for you is everything, healing, prosperity, and relationships. Nothing missing and nothing broken. Discover the shalom peace that comes from being whole. Order the Shalom Package for only $16.99. Go to kcm.org/TV special or call 800-600-7395. Begin your journey of peace and restoration for every area of your life. Offer good for 60 days. If you are outside the United States, shipping charges may apply. Contact your local regional office for more information.
We are going to give you today an opportunity to receive Jesus as the Lord of your life. It's the best opportunity that you'll ever have in your life if you've never done that.
Well, I'd say so.
I tell you, when you make Jesus the Lord of your life, you start over again. You get born over again. That means that the way you were is changed. And now the Bible calls you a new creature or a new creation in Christ Jesus. So I want you to just pray this. If you're interested in making Jesus the Lord and turning things around and being redeemed from the curse of the law into the blessing with Jesus, you pray this prayer with us. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I receive you today.
I receive you today.
As my Lord and Savior.
As my Lord and Savior.
Receive my prayer.
Receive my prayer.
Take my life and do something with it.
Take my life and do something with it.
My will is to follow you.
My will is to follow you.
And I believe I receive it right now.
And I believe I receive it right
in
now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Jesus is the Lord of my life.
Forever.
Forever.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. All you got to do, you say that's too easy. No, Jesus made it easy. He did all the hard part. He bore the curse for us. Now we just have to receive what He did. And that's what you did this morning. And if you didn't do it then, all you have to do is say, Jesus, I make you the Lord of my life. And he'll change you. Mm-hmm. He'll come into your life. He'll have bearing on your life. The blessing will begin to work in your life. And let us know, and we'll send you a free salvation package to help you learn. You got to learn now to catch up and find out what all's been done for you so you can walk in it. He did it all for you. So we'll send you some study things. And we're just so thankful for you today that you made a turn.
Thank
you,
Jesus.
Said, Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and Savior. I said to him one day, take my life and do something with it. I never dreamed this would be what he'd do, but it's been so good.
We are providing the study notes from our teaching free. Go to kcm.org/notes. The notes for the broadcast will include the key points, scriptures, prayers, interactive questions. These notes follow along with us or for your personal Bible study or to teach a small group, something like that. It helps you just immerse yourself deeper into the study of the Word. I'm telling you, this is good stuff, man.
Shalom. I asked Miss Gloria, Sister Gloria, if I could receive the offering today. Today is offering day. Because I remember this verse. I know, Gloria, the Lord brought it to my mind. In light of our study of shalom, and how the root word is shalim, make whole, and how the words for pay, give, restitution are all in the Old Testament forms of this word whole. So this is the New Testament, and this is the King James. It's Galatians 6:6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things.
Yes.
Now, Brother Hagin would say that's a little blind to us because we normally don't talk today like communicate. We would use the word give. Let him that is taught in the word give to him that teaches in all good things. The Amplified gives us a little more. It does what it says it will do. It amplifies the meaning. Let him who receives instruction in the word of God share all good things with his teacher, contributing to his support. So, here we are. Kenneth Copeland Ministries brings to you all over the world teaching. Bless the Lord.
Right.
So you can be a part of it, but look at God's wonderful plan. When you give, it shall be given to you again.
Praise
good God. Measure, pressed
Praise
down,
God.
Running over. And it says here, whatever you sow, that's what you're going to reap. It says, he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting.
Praise
you
God.
Are off, you're sowing to the Spirit right now. You're sowing to the work of the Holy Spirit. And you're going to receive reward back, and it's going to reap a crop. It'll reap a crop of people that'll give God glory forever and ever.
Yes. Father, we pray over every person sowing into this offering. We believe with them for the big return, the hundredfold return, whatever return that we believe for, and we will not let it go, we'll get it. And so we believe for them, their blessing coming in on every way, unexpected blessings.
Amen.
And we
amen.
Thank you for blessing all of us, Lord, and increasing all of us financially. In our bodies, we thank you for healing. Heal the people today, Lord. Just you've already done what it takes to do. You've already borne our sicknesses and carried our diseases. And by your stripes, we were healed. So we take that healing, and that's the way we take prosperity. The blessing is under the old covenant. It's under the new covenant. Hallelujah. A financial blessing.
It's God's way.
Increase is God's will. And that's why he has it. That's when we tithe, we get increase. When we sow, we get increase. You know what? God set it up where you and I should lack for nothing.
It's the truth. That's what it means, whole.
That is the will of God. Billy and I'll be back on Monday. Until then, remember this.
Jesus is
Lord.
Kenneth Copeland Ministries has an exciting way for you to give and become a part of what God is doing. Text the letters KCM and the amount you'd like to give to 36609. If you prefer, you can also go to kcm.org/give or call 800-600-7395. Text to give is available in the U.S. only.